Welcome back. Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is Threat Talk, and I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Denver.
And today, it's going to be our first no theme episode.
A little bit of a mix-up going on this week.
Yeah, so we asked you guys on Instagram what you prefer, if you prefer the themes or just kind of mixing it up and whatever we find this week, the kind of like the best stories that we find. And over 50% of you said mix it up.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of stories that we've been trying to categorize, and those categories haven't really been getting filled up. So we thought, why don't we take a little bit of a mashup of everything that we've been working on versus some really new ones versus some really good ones and kind of put it together, and then we came up with...
To theme or not to theme?
I love it. So we've got a really good story set up for you guys today. I'm excited to hop into it. But before we get into it,
Yes. There
has been something that we made a mistake of a couple episodes ago on our Valentine's Day episode. For those of you who've been following along, we have the answers for you. What did Teresa and I do for Valentine's Day? We do apologize that we forgot to put it on the end of that episode. Oops. We try to like put our personal stuff at the end of the episode and really give you guys the Reddit stories at the beginning, and then if you want to stick along at the end, that's your discretion, but we kind of just forgot, we got a little carried away, and now we're three episodes later, but we have the answer for you. So the loyal followers, I had found a candlelit sympathy in Toronto symphony to go to, and I was booking it for Valentine's Day, and then when I was selecting the options, one of them was a tribute to Taylor Swift, and Teresa is the biggest Swiftie ever. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, like tag Taylor Swift or something, because Teresa just absolutely biggest Swiftie ever. So it was a symphony. My bad. I'm so terrible with that. So I booked dinner reservations at this unique restaurant, Maison Shelby in Toronto, if you know of it. It was really good, like actual candles that were like melting as we were having dinner. Really good French vibes, great food. And then during, Teresa's like, this place is really good. Cause I told Teresa, I was like, yeah, like it was so hard to get a booking for this. Like there was either an early one of January 30th or there was March 30th. And so I was like, yeah, it was so hard to get a booking. So we're gonna have to do Valentine's Day early because a slot opened up. And Teresa was like at dinner, she's like, this doesn't seem like that exclusive, like it's not that filled up. I'm like, no, it's not this, it's after this. She's like, wait, what, there's a second part?
And it was like a Tuesday.
Yeah, it was like it was Tuesday or Wednesday
a
or something,
work night. Yep. Like so random. So I was like, I just thought it was gonna be dinner and that's it.
Exactly.
And dinner was amazing, don't get me wrong, but I just didn't think it was something like, oh my gosh, like it was booked out for all of February. I was like, that's really odd.
And she's like, what is it? I'm like, don't worry, it's gonna blow your mind, you're absolutely gonna love it, and you'll never be able to guess what it is. And she started guessing and I was like, nope.
It had something to do with cats or Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she did say it does have something to do with Taylor Swift. I did have to lie about that
part. I had no idea.
So then we were driving around. We're looking for a parking spot. We pull around a church. It was at a church. So Teresa's like, why the fuck are we at a church?
I thought he was going to make us get married.
Exactly.
So, I'm so confused.
So we find parking and we walk in and the lady is scanning our tickets and I show her the tickets and she lets us in. And I'm thinking while she's scanning tickets, I'm like, please don't say what this is. And then we walk in and Teresa's like, oh, I've seen the ads for this on TikTok because that's where I found it for the Symphony.
Jeez.
My bad. So she didn't say it was a Taylor Swift theme. There was no sign that it was Taylor Swift. So I was like, okay, awesome.
I was already happy with
that. She was already happy with it. But I'm like, this is going to be the greatest surprise ever. And we go and we find our seats. And then the chick comes on stage to introduce the musicians. And I'm like, please don't say that it's a Taylor Swift night. And she doesn't. And I was like, yes. And then they come out with their violins and their cellos and whatever else they have. And they start doing the first song. And then it takes about 30 to 60 seconds. And then at some point, Teresa looks at me, like whips her neck around to the side. She's like, is this Taylor Swift? And I was like, yep, the whole night's a tribute. She's like, oh my God.
It was amazing. I literally cried. Like, literally cried.
Yeah, she did when shed some tears.
Yeah. I think it was the second song. Oh, when they were playing Cardigan, I was crying. I was just like, oh my God, this is so nice. Like,
yep. So we spent an hour.
Date ever.
It was really good. Teresa was super happy. It was amazing. And then we found out that, I guess... What is Mark to us? My brother-in-law's brother took his Swiftie girlfriend and they were there the exact same night. And we saw it on Instagram and we were like, no way, we were there too. And it was pretty funny. So yeah, thank you guys for being the loyal followers. And for those of you who wanted to know that story, I hope you found it useful. For those of you that are new, I am sorry. On future episodes, we will keep our personal life to the end of the episode. So now we're going to get into some awesome Reddit stories, to theme or no theme. All right, who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. I'm excited for this one. This is a good one. This is actually from Best of Redditor Updates. And it was nominated one of the best, I forget which category this one was from, but one of the best ones for 2023. Title is, I fell in love with my married neighbor and then I babysat his kids. Now I'm questioning my feelings. Okay, so first of all, I'm new to Reddit, so sorry if there are any mistakes or something. I obviously can't talk about this with any of my friends or my mom, but then I saw a Reddit post on TikTok and I thought this would be a good place to talk about this. I'm also going to post this in a couple of different places based on what came up when I Googled best Reddits to post on for advice. So also sorry if this shows up multiple times. Finally, I know you're all going to judge me, but at least try to understand my side. Thanks. So I'm a 34-year-old woman, and 7 months ago, I had a messy breakup with a long-term boyfriend. So I moved in with my best friend and her husband in a house, and we are all renting together. It was then that I met my neighbor, who I will call Kay. He helped us move our stuff into the house, and I was instantly smitten. We live in the suburbs of a major city, so we both ended up taking the train into work at the same time each day. I knew Kay had a wife and kids very early on. He talked about them often and pictures of them on his lock screen, social media, etc. However, initially it started out very innocent, like a silly little crush. He is handsome and funny and sweet. The first time we rode the train, he asked me about my job and seemed genuinely interested in what I was saying, which is something my ex never did and is something we fought over a lot. He is always doing things for his kids, like bringing home treats and stuff for them and staying on the phone with his older daughter the entire ride to work because she needed a pep talk before school presentation. It was just so easy to imagine how lovely and attentive Kay would be with me because he is like that with everyone else. Kay has never said or done anything to imply that he has feelings for me yet, but we are genuinely friends by now because we talk on the train, which is about a 20-minute ride, almost every weekday. I have never had trouble getting the attention of men, and with the basis we have already, I know that we could easily become something more. I also learned shortly after I developed feelings for him that his wife is someone I went to school with, and I was surprised because they are polar opposites. He is funny, she is dry, he is exciting, she is cautious, he is a little dumb, she is very smart intellectually. Look-wise, this feels mean, but yikes. I just don't think that their personalities fit well together at all, and I can easily see Kay getting stuck in a relationship because he's just too nice. The issue is that yesterday evening, Kay knocked on my door and asked if I could watch his kids for a bit. This was, of course, no problem, and I said yes right away. He told me that his wife got into a car accident while away on a business trip, and because she is pregnant, he was super worried and had booked the next flight out to go see her. They don't have any family in the state currently, so he asked me to keep an eye on them for a few hours while a family friend drove several hours to watch them at night. Now is where the issue came in. These kids were an absolute nightmare. There were three girls, and the oldest was your typical bratty preteen times a thousand. She was rude and didn't respect my authority at all, arguing with me about everything from dinner, who had to clean up, to what movies she was allowed to watch. I even heard her call me a bitch under her breath a couple times. The middle was rowdy and constantly wanted to play loud, messy games even when I told her no. The youngest was mostly sweet and quiet on her own, but she joined in whatever drama the middle wanted to create. It culminated in me agreeing to play hide and seek with the younger two and ended up getting locked out of my house. When I went back and tried to convince the oldest to let me in through the back screen door, she pretended she couldn't hear me and put her headphones in. Thankfully, the family friend arrived a few minutes later and let me in, and then I went home. This makes me sad because before now, I would often dream about being a stepmom to Kay's kids one day because of how highly he would talk about them. Now I want nothing to do with them. But at the same time, this is further proof that Kay and his wife are not happy because children from a happy home do not behave like this. I just want to have a relationship with Kay, but I do not know if it is possible because his kids and I would not get along. And this is even before a potential divorce where their mother could easily get them to hate me. I really love Kay, and I know that we could have a beautiful relationship if I pursued this. But this has really shaken me. I just wish I had someone to talk to about this, but everyone in my life would judge me.
Yeah. No wonder they're going to judge you. You're a psycho. You're delusional. Kay's just being nice to you. He's got a wife. He's got three kids with a fourth one on the way. If he wanted out, he'd be out. He doesn't want out. He is enjoying his life. What?
This girl, she's romanticizing this idea of him. I don't think she actually loves him. I think it's like an infatuation. The idea
of him.
Because he has not expressed any interest in
her. Nothing. Like, I thought this was going to be a cheating story at the beginning with the title. I thought this was going to be a cheating story. No, this is a delusional stalker story.
She's a little delusional, yeah.
Just because he says hi and he chats with you on the subway, obviously they're going to chat. Like, they're neighbors. Who wouldn't chat on the way to work and stuff like that? He showed you no romantic interest.
Nothing.
At all. And you're like, his kids are nightmares. Now I can't think. What makes you think he's even going to cheat on his wife with you? Obviously, exactly. He's happy in his relationship.
She's pregnant. She got in a car accident. He flew states over to go see her. Like,
exactly.
What about that makes you seem like you have a chance,
an
girl?
Opening or anything? Wow.
This is cringe.
She's delusional.
Yeah. So there's an update,
right? For it to be a best, there has to be an update. I feel like someone's going to read the story and she's going to get busted. Someone's going to put the dots together of like three kids, the car accident, the pregnancy and stuff like that. I feel like she's about to get found out.
Okay. The interaction. So the update is an interaction, like a text message interaction from K and OP. K, blank and the girls are okay. Thank you for watching the girls. OP, of course, anytime. Let me know if there's anything else I can do. K, thumbs up emoji. Okay, link to the Reddit.
Yep.
Okay, is this you? Okay, because if it is, we need to talk. I promise you that I have absolutely no interest in leaving my family for you. I'm sorry if I ever gave you the wrong idea, but I don't see you as anything more than a neighbor. I don't think we should be friends anymore. OP, wait, can I call you? And that's it.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Oh my god.
Oh, so cringe. I feel embarrassed for her.
So cringe. There's so many wrong life decisions. Okay, you're falling in love with somebody who's showing no romantic interest in you, and then you're posting it on the internet and everything like that. You thought you were gonna get advice. No, you just got found out.
Oh, I kind of feel sad for her.
I feel a little sad for how delusional she is.
Yeah. I don't know. She like made a point to say that she never like sought male validation her whole life. But like, I don't know. It's surprising to me that this is the first case where she's kind of taking friendship out of context.
And, yeah.
I don't know.
But I think she thinks every guy is interested in her.
Yeah.
She can get anybody she wants. It has to stem from that. Even to think that he's married and blah, 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 blah. You know, I still think there's a chance. If I wanted this.
Yeah.
It was a possibility.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's the first thing.
Yeah. Wild. Top comment. This is the best of Redditor updates I have ever read.
Yeah. That is the best update that I've ever read. What, did she just screenshot her text message and post it there? Or is it like just a copy paste?
Text. It's a copy paste here because it's not the original post. That's it's so on Best of Redditor updates.
Funny. Oh my god. Like he just found the Reddit story. Like there's too many details. Maybe if you left out the accident and stuff like that, maybe if you said for whatever reason I had to, like you oh.
Yeah.
There's
I know.
So it's many details easy to that find. easy to come back on you. The world is a lot smaller than you think it is. Especially with CEO. Search engine optimization.
SEO.
SEO. My SEO. My fucking CEO. I'm like, my bad. You post things, people around you actually find it on the internet more likely than somebody off in India or something like that. It's more likely to be the people near you who are going to find the stuff on the internet. Yeah. That's how the internet works.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. That was a good start. That was a good start. Moving along to my story. Before I get into my story, I want to say thank you to this week's sponsor is Artuno. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, you can see this beautiful ThreadTalk sign that we have here with the pink highlights. If you're not on YouTube and you're on Spotify, check us out on YouTube once in a while. But thank you for them for giving us this beautiful sign of our logo. They are a company that does acrylic signs. So if you know somebody mainly in the automotive space that is a car enthusiast, they'd like to have a sign. This is great for gifts. If you have any birthdays coming up, you can use Thread Talk for $15 off your checkout. That is artuno.ca. We'll also leave a link down below if you just want to click on that and use Thread Talk for $15 off. So thank you for Artuno for the beautiful design and sponsoring this episode. Now let's get into my story. All right, this one is actually a recent one. It's from 14 days ago. Am I the asshole for not wanting a guy included in our mom friends group? I, 35 female, am a single mother of two kids, 5 and 3. Both of my kids are in daycare, and over the years, I've built a solid friend group with a handful of other mothers and kids who regularly get together for playdates. The father of my kids is not in the picture at all, and my relationship with him is non-existent. This is 100% for the best, and I am currently in therapy to deal with a lot of things that my ex did to me. This friend group has literally been a lifesaver for me at times. A few months ago, there were two new kids that started to come to the daycare center. They are similar in age to my kids and were placed in the same classes as them. I noticed that their dad was the only parent to ever pick up or drop them off. He would try to make small talk with me a few times, but I am uncomfortable around strange men, so I would be polite but not engage further than that. Our mom group has a group chat that we use to support each other and to arrange playdates. A few weeks ago, one of the moms texted the group chat that she was adding this new dad to our group chat because he wanted to have his kids participate in playdates outside of daycare. I privately texted that mom and told her that I don't feel comfortable with a man I don't know having my contact information, and told her that she should have consulted all of us before deciding on her own to add him to the group chat. I then texted the rest of the mom and told them that I want to keep a separate group chat without the other dad because I don't know him and it makes me uncomfortable. This resulted in a lot of divided opinions, with about half of the moms agreeing to a separate chat and the other half just saying it'd be too difficult to keep track of, and he was wrong to exclude another parent just because he's a man, and that I'm being unreasonable. The mom I texted privately replied to me that she has talked with his dad numerous times, and that he seems like a nice person and a good parent, and that his kids shouldn't be excluded if they want to hang out with their friends outside of daycare. She told me that I was being difficult and making this all harder than it needs to be. The other day when I picked up my kids, my 5-year-old was upset because a bunch of his friends were talking about a play date that he wasn't invited to. I texted the moms about it and that they said they were getting the kids together with the new dad and didn't invite my kids because of how I was acting. I told them that it was rude to exclude my kids like that, and a couple of the moms told me to grow up because that's exactly what I was trying to do to this dad and his kids. Mm-hmm. I'm at a loss because these moms have been so supportive for me in the past, and as soon as this dad comes into the picture, it's like they pulled a 180 and don't seem to care about me at all. There are still other moms who agree with me, but now it's like our friend group has been divided by this. Am I the asshole?
Oh, man. Okay. I think this girl has some trauma.
Yeah, she did say she's in therapy. She clearly does have some trauma for her ex.
I think there's obviously a reason she feels this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think she's an asshole. I know overall vote is probably asshole.
Oh, overall vote is asshole.
Yeah.
But it's not a clear-cut case of assholeness, I don't think.
Yeah, I just feel like she is trying to keep boundaries. Like,
trying to protect herself.
She's trying to protect herself, and I respect some trauma. That. Yeah.
She's in therapy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's definitely not fair.
to the new dad.
To the new dad and to the moms who want to be friends with him.
Exactly. Like, you agreed to be in the group chat, okay? If you agree to be in a group chat where you are not the administrator of, then you are giving permission for your contact information to be given out in the group chat to the administrator, to the lead person in the group.
Sure.
So there's kind of a balance there. Like if you didn't start the group chat and you joined it, then you are that, just by that action, you need to be aware that other people in the future may be added to the group and see your contact info without your permission. That's something that you just need to be aware of. If you're not okay of that, then you shouldn't join.
I don't know. I don't really think it's like that clear cut. Like sometimes when I start group chats, like I'm not like the admin.
No, I know. But if you start the group chat, then you're the one, like you can set the rules whether people can be added or not added and stuff.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if people see it that way.
Maybe but not. Like, but I just feel like if you're putting yourself into a group chat, like you are kind of giving permission for other people to be joining in the group chat and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's a clear cut boundary on this. But also, like, it doesn't say your name. Well, it depends on the group chat, I guess. Like, if it's just text message, like, it's just a random phone number that's in there, not to save as a name.
I think the bottom line is that she doesn't want to be around men that she doesn't know.
And that's fine. But then you can't be upset when you get cut out.
When you get excluded.
You got to explain that to your kids.
Your trauma shouldn't be
other people's problems.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be put on to other people. And they should be able to live their life. So if they want to be friends with this dad and their kids are friends with his kids, like that should be allowed. You shouldn't have a problem with that.
And you can't get upset when you're going to be excluded. Yeah. You said you didn't want to hang out with him. He's trying to arrange a play date for his kids.
Yeah, I'm sure
you can't be upset when you're not invited.
I think they didn't invite you because they knew you felt uncomfortable.
Exactly.
I don't think they did it maliciously.
No, I don't think they did it maliciously either. It was of her own making.
Yeah. But yeah,
it's a tough one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say she's an asshole, but like, I get it.
She kind of did an asshole move, I guess. Yeah. She's trying to exclude the dad just because he's a guy, which is not his fault.
Yeah.
He's a single parent as well. It's not necessarily like, is it the mom's only group chat or is it the parents group chat? It seems more like it's a parents group chat.
Yeah.
To help arrange with the play dates and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it just usually tends to be moms.
Yeah. Any one of those moms could be a psycho. And she has your contact info.
Yeah.
Like, she has trauma and that's why it's against guys. But, like, realistically, like, any one of those people could be dangerous to have your contact info with, too.
Yeah.
And that does make him an automatic bad guy because he's a guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is for your kids.
Like, you had to start somewhere with your friends, with the other moms.
Exactly.
Like,
are all the moms single moms?
I don't know. But at one point, you had to get to know them. So... You know what I mean? Like, you always start at ground zero at some point, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
a tough one. Yeah. I can see people being on both sides of the fence here. Like, obviously, some people were, with her. The whole group wasn't against her, just some.
Yeah.
But then you can't be upset when you're going to get excluded out of your play dates stuff like that. And it's up to you to explain that to your kids.
Yeah.
Top comment. You aren't the bad guy for not wanting your personal contact info shared with a person you do not know, regardless of the gender, or for not wanting to participate in activities where people you don't know are present. This is a boundary you are welcome to set, but you do not get to dictate what the other moms do in the group. Those who criticize you for setting this boundary are wrong, but it sounds like they ultimately respected it by not inviting you to the group where the dad was present. The only person you can dictate gets to be in the friend group is yourself. Mm-hmm. Trying to exclude anyone else for any reason when it's not a group consensus makes you the asshole here.
Yeah.
Set your boundaries and enforce them. But remember, boundaries do not force a behavior or action on others. It's about what you will accept. Quotations. I will not be participating in activities or group chats where men I don't know are present. This is perfectly acceptable and enforceable. Mm-hmm. Quotations. I do not want men I don't know in our group chat or group activities. This is not a boundary. This is trying to control the group.
Yeah.
Don't get upset when people respect your boundaries because what you really wanted was for them to pick you over someone else. You are the asshole.
Yes, that was perfectly said.
That was perfectly said.
Yeah.
You can make that decision of whether or not you want to continue to be in that group chat or not. And you can, exactly. But you can't try to force them to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm enjoying this no theme.
Yeah.
No theme or theme. Yeah. What is it?
To theme or not to theme.
I'm enjoying this to theme or not to theme.
Me too. All right.
I know Jack's enjoying it. Yeah. You guys are checking us out on YouTube. Jack has taken a break from his biscuit factory and he's just taking a nap.
Buona notte.
Get back to work, Jack. You gotta pay your rent.
Okay. This one comes from Am I the Asshole? It was posted 2 days ago. Am I the asshole for telling my daughter she has to understand that choosing this wedding date would result in my family not going? 2-ish years ago, my brother, my nephew, and my mother were in a car accident. My mother died instantly. My brother and nephew passed away the next day. My family was small. Me, my husband, daughter, parents, brother, wife, and 2 nephews. Their loss was devastating for my life and for everyone. Even worse for my father and my sister-in-law. 1 year ago, my daughter, Betty, 25, female, was proposed to by her fiancé and preparations began. During this process, they chose the date based on the day they met, 7 years ago, and the day is exactly 2 years since the death of my brother and nephew. I tried to talk to her about moving because it is still a very difficult date for our family and even for myself, but she insisted, saying that the venue had the date available and it would be perfect because all of the other available dates aren't so good and wouldn't be so important. I respected her decision. Recently, she sent invitations to everyone and, as I predicted, my sister-in-law, my nephew, 24 male, and my father responded that they would not attend, and despite not telling her, my family and my sister-in-law told me that the day choice was an offense to them. I decided to remain neutral at some point. I confirmed my presence and my husband's. Today, my daughter called me unhappy that no one but us confirmed. My husband doesn't have family on his side, and her family part was empty, and she expected everyone to go on that date. Even more so after she explained the reason to them about the date, they still refused. I tried to be supportive, but I said, in quotations, "Love, this date is difficult even for me, but I will go to your wedding. But you have to understand that this choice of date has consequences and you would have to deal with the consequences of your choices." She exploded at me, saying that everyone was against her. It's not her fault the dates coincided and everyone could make an effort to go a few hours for her, but they decided just not to. And I was basically saying, "I told you so." She hung up on me without answering and we still haven't spoken. My husband said he understands me, but I should have stayed away from it. Am I the asshole?
Absolutely not. She couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah.
Listen, there is nothing harder in life than loss, especially when you are losing someone who was not ready, was not aged and old and was about to leave this earth.
Like, yeah,
a tragic car accident where multiple people in your family died. Like, that's a horrific date. It's hard enough just to live your life on every other date. Never mind an anniversary date where you're reminded of what you lost. And you think that people want to go to a wedding? Mm-hmm. No, you are delusional. You are not respectful. You could have picked another date, another venue. If you cared that they were there, you would have done that.
Yeah.
So you reap what you sow, and your mom couldn't have explained it any nicer.
Yeah, exactly. She said,
she was so, "I'm gonna soft.
Support you. I will come, but I don't think this is a good decision." And
exactly,
she did. Like, yeah, I would say I told you so too.
I would have said it harder.
Yeah,
like, your mom is hurting, and you're lucky that your mom is so gentle to explain it like that to you, because yeah, some other people wouldn't have been so nice.
Exactly,
that yeah, is extremely tough.
I get the significance of the date for her.
I get that
they
it.
Met,
and it's but like, it's tough. It sucks, but I understand the significance for you. But yeah, there's meeting someone significant, and then there's losing like your whole family from a tragic car accident significant, which makes your anniversary date insignificant.
Yeah,
like, it does. It's significant to you, but if you care about them, it is no longer significant. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Like, if that was, we are planning our wedding. So if you are new, you can stay along for future updates. But if we were planning our wedding and we knew that there was a tragic date in our family, that people would be hurting yeah, on that date, we're going to book that off our calendar. We're going to know that's not an option. We can't do it on that date.
Also, like, I would never think to do it on the day that we met. Like, I just feel like it's kind of like a redundant date, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you can't even...
I don't even remember.
What's our anniversary date?
November 5th.
It's October 15th.
No, it's November
5th. It's October 15th. What's our engagement anniversary date?
October
12th. Oh, look at you. Now you know it. I've asked you too many times now.
So, I don't know. I've never heard of people like celebrating the day that they met before.
I can't even remember what day we met.
Yeah, me either. There's so many other significant dates.
Like there's nothing wrong with remembering and celebrating the day that you met. But when your family has had such a tragedy, like you need to understand that.
Yeah. Top comment. Well, overall vote is not the asshole. Top comment. Not the asshole. I mean, you told her exactly why this would happen and she didn't listen. I think she was more upset in front of you than at you, if that makes sense. She's venting, but also kind of thoughtless to think that everyone would just swallow their grief to watch her get married on a really painful anniversary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People like to go to the graveyard and pay their respects and stuff. They're not going to a freaking wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only been 2 years, too.
It's still fresh.
That's really fresh. It's another thing,
if this was like 15 years ago, happened when you were a kid and stuff like that. Like,
also, like, I wouldn't want my, like, our wedding anniversary to also be on that date.
Yeah. That's messed up. It'd be messed up for the future, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully she comes to her senses.
Yeah. I wonder what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along. This one is from 1 month ago. It's from the Am I Wrong subreddit. Am I wrong for choosing my dog over my girlfriend?
No.
Can you ever be wrong for that?
No.
All right. So I've been with my girlfriend for 3 years, and we've been talking about living together since we thought that it was the right time due to my job and money stability that we have. But the only problem for her is my dog. I took my dog in from a shelter 10 years ago when he was 1 year old. I was sad and depressed and suffering from my dad's death. He died in a car accident. In that time, I was feeling alone and useless. So my friend suggested to me to take on a dog so I would have some company and a best friend that would help me. I was a bit skeptical, but a few weeks later, I agreed. I went and looked at some shelters, and as I passed by him, when I looked into his eyes, I knew that he was the one for me. My friend, who went with me that day, always said, he chooses you, and not vice versa. And that has to be true. When I chose him, the people there told me that I was making a risky choice because he was very aggressive and scared, but those eyes convinced me, so I took him without hesitation. It was tough. I don't want to lie, but at the end, he became loyal and adorable with licks, belly rubs, and protection. Since that time, we became inseparable, and I don't have to be ashamed to admit that he saved me, and my friends are right. Now, coming on to my girlfriend. We never had any major issues or fights because we have the same interests, hobbies, and we have a very similar character. She always got along well with my dog, even for the first times that she was at my house, she was a bit scared of my dog due to his size. My dog is an oversized pit bull terrier of 110 pounds and is very jacked. But then Bruce, his name is Bruce because I'm a huge Batman fan. So I called him Bruce, like Bruce Wayne, went along with her and loves her gentle touch and laying around her. So she and my Bruce never had anything wrong and our relationship was pretty good. Then a week ago, we seriously started talking about living together and I agreed with her about this decision. Here's where the real issue comes. 6 days ago, we started looking at the right house for us and that was near our jobs and was more room for future kids because we want them. I jokingly said that Bruce will be our first son and would be a good example of the children to take care of. And in fact, she laughed, but then said, well, obviously your dog isn't coming with us because he's not part of our family. I immediately understood that she was not joking and we started arguing. I told her clearly that Bruce is a special person for me and I would never in a million years for any reason abandon him because he is like a brother to me. The argument went on like this for 3 hours, and she said, come on, you're joking, right? You can't love a stupid animal more than a real person. I will admit that I got pretty angry, and I told her to get the fuck out of my house immediately because I cannot tolerate anyone talking shit on my Bruce like that. And she realized what she said and tried to apologize, but I was too angry and asked her to leave. When she was leaving, I clearly told her that Bruce is very important to me because he saved me in my darkest period, and I will forever be grateful to him and that I love him. So if she don't like him, she can kick rocks and get the fuck out of my life.
Period.
Maybe I overreacted and was too harsh, but I really think what I said was true, and I absolutely love my Bruce. Now she is trying to apologize for what she said, and it's been 3 days since my phone is blowing up with calls and texts from her, and I don't know what to do. So am I wrong?
Absolutely not. We are, in case you guys haven't noticed, but we are an animal-loving household.
Yes, we have two cats.
We have two cats, and we love our animals. And I don't, these animal stories just like make me mad, more angry than any like human stories.
Right.
Because it's like, in what world would he leave his dog?
No world. You're delusional if you think someone's going to get rid of their pet that has been around before you for you.
I don't even know why she would have assumed that.
No, who assumes that?
Who assumes
that's
that?
That's a like, red flag to just say that he's not coming with us, right? The dog stays
do
with the
mean?
House. Was he a couch? He stays in the house. What? It's an animal. You don't leave your animals behind when you move. Maybe she has some childhood trauma where like she moved to a new place one time and she had a pet and it got left behind with the house. And her parents told her that we don't take pets when we move.
Maybe she's got
some trauma and that's her norm, but like that's not normal.
That's not normal at all.
The animals move with you.
100%. Like,
well, obviously he's not coming with us. No, obviously he is. Obviously he is. Why would he not?
No, that's so ridiculous. And yeah, okay. Even if the dog like didn't have like healing like emotional attachments for him,
yeah,
like,
even if there was
none of that, like you still
don't give up your animals.
Dog's coming with me. No. And people who get pets and then leave them behind, I
disgusting.
Think are literally the scum of the freaking earth. Like,
yeah,
you deserve a beautiful seat in hell.
Yep.
Because that is that, like, literally talking about animals makes me so sad, because I don't know what it is. They are just helpless, you know? You are their entire lives. They are all that you know. And for you to just leave them behind like that, like...
I hate that.
You deserve hell. You deserve the worst.
You don't deserve
every
him.
Day. No, you don't deserve him.
There is no coming back from this either.
No.
There is no coming back to this either. As soon as you said that, I would never trust you around Bruce Wayne again. I would never trust you with my Batman. Because, yeah. Like... I can't trust you to be alone with him. I can't trust you not let him out
exactly.
the door and let him run away. I can't trust you to not drive him to a shelter and say he ran away or something like that. I can't trust you at all. People are disgusting. Like, some people would like take the pet and go drop him off at a shelter or go drive him off to a back road and just abandon them and then say that they ran away and stuff like that. So I would never trust you ever again around my dog or anything like that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's it. Done, cut, clear, out of my life.
Done,
goodbye.
Yeah. It just makes me like, my mind is boggled knowing that she just assumed that.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, what goes on through people's minds? I have no idea.
Oh, this does remind me of Teresa and I's retirement plans. What Teresa and I would like to do for retirement. We want a cat cafe. We're going to open up a cat cafe and we're going to adopt kitties and kittens. Maybe we'll expand this to like dogs and stuff like that. But I want to like help animals and pets get like second homes and maybe like a little hotel, like a doggy cat hotel and stuff like that. That's my retirement plan. I just want to have like a little cat cafe, a little apartment above the cat cafe, and I'll be very happy.
Yeah, that would literally make me so happy.
Yeah, me too. That'd be amazing.
Just have like an infinite amount of cats. Could be the crazy,
well, we'd
cat
help
couple.
Them find new homes and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just, you know, property and just 8 golden retrievers.
Yeah, I've always said I wanted 8 golden retrievers.
When I first met Teresa, I just want 8 golden retrievers. I'm like, is that all at one time? Or is that like through your lifetime? Or you want 8 at once? Like, is that like, what do we get? Are we getting 8 at once and we're having 8 golden retriever puppies? Or is it like we get 1 golden retriever and then like he's 2 years old and we get another one and we get like a new one every other year? Like, how is this 8 golden retrievers working? Where are they all coming from?
I never thought it through. I just knew 8. I wanted 8.
Just 8. Like, you only have 2 arms. You're only petting 2 at a time. Teresa just wants to be smothered. She wants to lay down on the ground and have 8 golden retrievers lay on top of her.
Yes. That was before I was a cat person. Now I'm happy with 8 cats.
You're happy with 8 cats?
I would love a golden retriever as well, but
there is an update to this.
Ooh, okay.
So the top comment just says exactly what we talked about. Mm-hmm. But so the update. So we talked for a few hours about the situation and we were both completely sincere about our thoughts. The first thing I want to say is that we broke up officially. The other thing is I discovered some things about her that I wasn't expecting and would never expect. She never even liked Bruce. For all these years, she was faking her love for him. She isn't a dog person and never liked dogs, and my Bruce didn't make any difference. She was seriously convinced that I would leave my Bruce for coming to live together with her, and this for me is the most painful part because she knows all of our story and she didn't care about it at all. She told me, choose me or your stupid dog, and I chose my dog without hesitation.
Good.
I don't know what to say. Seriously, I'm just speechless. Some are saying better now than later, but I can't believe she was faking the love for my dog. I mean, Bruce never hurt her, never chewed on anything of her things, and was never too cuddly with her, so I can't really understand why all this hate for my dog. My heart is in pieces, and I don't even know what to think. At least she never hurt him, but I don't know where all this hate comes from. But then I think of all your comments, and you guys seriously made my day, so thanks again, and I'm glad that there are still people who love dogs and respect them. So thank you guys all for the support.
It sounds like she was jealous of the dog, like the whole relationship. Mm-hmm. Jealous the of whole time. The attention, yeah.
Yeah, the whole time.
Jealous that he had such a special place in his heart.
Exactly.
But like there's room. There's room for
it's always room.
More than one.
There's always
love.
Room.
Like, yeah,
it's always room. So sad.
Yeah. Well, glad she's gone. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Bye. All right. Your turn.
All right. This one comes from Am I the Asshole? It was posted 18 days ago. Am I the asshole for not delaying our rebuild for our pregnant neighbors? We are planning on doing a major rebuild on our old row house and finalized everything around 2 weeks ago. We are excited as it has taken us nearly 1.5 years to get here. We texted our neighbors this weekend to let them know construction would start at the end of the month for approximately 3 to 4 months. We are not extremely close with our neighbors, but always pleasant. One neighbor came by to talk to us after we sent the text and expressed disappointment in the timing because his girlfriend is pregnant and due next week. We ourselves were never told of her pregnancy until December and that she was due sometime in February. He also asked about our rebuild on his own, and my partner mentioned it might happen sometime in April, which was our original start date. We told him how sorry we were for the timing, but obviously it wasn't intentional. 10 minutes after he left, we received a text asking if we were available to talk the next day about possible solutions and if we could delay the rebuild by 3 to 4 months. We agreed to meet, but told him delaying was not possible because we already have another place lined up for us to live in, contractor agreement, etc. Needless to say, the meeting was not ideal. The girlfriend cried the entire time while apologizing for crying and hormones. She said she has not cried as much as she has in the past 24 hours as she has in the past 2 years. She's worried how this will affect the baby because she's stressed now. She couldn't believe that we just sent them a text message with only a month in advance and that we should have come talk to them in person as this was the first she was hearing of this. Did we even put ourselves in their shoes? They have nowhere else to go. They are concerned with how this affects their own sleep because the baby will be up at night and they need to sleep during the day and they won't be able to with the construction. If we did the rebuild 3 months later, then it would at least be summer and they can go outside to escape the noise. They also kept repeating, "What if we just say, no, this can't happen?" We obviously feel for them as new parents expecting a baby, and we all live in old row houses, so I get how noisy and disruptive it will be. We told them we would get them a build schedule so they could see what days would be the noisiest, and they want us to ask a contractor if there can be quiet hours from 12 to 3. I don't think that is realistic and don't know what else we can do to amend the situation. Am I the asshole?
No. I mean, your renovation is not dictated by anybody else. It's a sucky situation. Being a new parent sucks. And yeah, having your neighbor renovate does suck. But you have no control over whether they renovate or not. Sell your home, move out. I can think of one solution for both of them. If I was the person who was renovating and it's like, I've already booked this, I've already booked that, I can, if they are willing to, delay it. But you are accepting the costs of the delayance. Yeah. I can't cancel the contractors. So you have to pay them the X amount. And then you also have to pay to relocate me, pay for my cancellation of that.
Yeah.
If you are even willing to. Me personally, I wouldn't even be willing to. I could see that being a compromise if you are willing to, if they want to pay for it, if they want it delayed and stuff like that. I wouldn't even be willing to. Like honestly, like, yeah, you're in for a rough time no matter what's going around with you, the baby. Mm-hmm. The baby doesn't care about anything. If anything, you want the baby up during the day so that he sleeps at night. You want loud noises going on during the day. Good point. Your baby's going to get used to it. Two, maybe it'll keep him awake and you'll get better sleep at night. If your baby can't sleep during the day because there's loud noises going on, I don't know exactly no sleep schedule stuff, but maybe Madison would have, this would have been a great story for Madison being a guest on, but that's okay.
Oh, shit.
The sleep schedules and stuff like that, but I would think that it's not a terrible thing if your baby is up all night. And it's actually a good thing if your baby gets used to loud noises, because that's mean that they're going to sleep easier in the future. So,
yeah, no, I don't know about that, but
I don't know. I think that's how I think. I could be wrong. Let me know if in the comments if you think I'm wrong. But yeah, their neighbor being pregnant is not their responsibility. Yeah. It's not their problem.
Exactly. So this one was originally in the Entitled People episode.
Oh, but yeah, they are entitled.
We didn't have time to go through it, so I thought it was a good one for the no theme episode.
If you guys haven't watched our title, check out the last episode, two episodes ago, for all these crazy entitled people. So check us out.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think it is a shitty situation, but unfortunately, when you live in like a townhouse like that, like, just, it's like we live in a condo. We have to be prepared for stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, like
I work from home.
Yeah.
I like, there's construction a lot too happening. You just have to kind of go with the flow adapt.
We're filming a podcast here. We want to keep out all the outside noise so that you guys have a better audio experience, but we can't control if there's renovating during the day that's going on above us. Like, they have full rights to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to, sometimes it is what it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to adapt to your neighbors.
No, not at all. Update. Thank you everyone for your response and insights. Much appreciated. We do share a wall with them, and part of the rebuild includes insulating the entire house. We found out work will go on from 8 to 4 p.m. each day with a 30-minute break for lunch at 12. The builder is fine to give an overview of what will be done and when. After that, I think we have done our best to assist them during this time.
Yeah, that's the most that you can do with that. It sucks for them because they live in a townhouse where the wall is connected. Brutal, it sucks, but your baby will adapt.
Yeah, and you'll adapt too.
You'll adapt too.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, maybe you'll actually get better sleep at night.
Yeah. Okay, overall vote was not the asshole.
Good.
Top comment, it's a baby. It's going to make noise all on its own.
Yep.
It can now make as much noise as it likes without disturbing you next door and without its parents being worried about it doing so. This is a massive overreaction from your neighbors. I would suggest you stop being quite so accommodating and concentrate instead on your own plans and carrying them forward. Not the asshole.
Exactly. Just break off communication with them. You don't have to listen to them whine.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's like a huge overreaction. I do understand like the frustration.
They have a lot of emotions going.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like they have any of their kids, so they have no idea what they're getting in for.
Yeah.
They're just preparing for the worst, and they're like, this wasn't in our plan and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a shitty situation, but you know, life throws you lemons. You need to adapt and add some sugar and make some lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just have to accept the fact that they can't change their plans, and That's it, unfortunately. Yeah.
If you're so against it, you have a month's warning to move out and find a new place to live. I think you're like 3 months out from the pregnancy anyway. I don't know. You have time. It's not happening the next day. You have time to make some adjustments if you really want to.
Yeah, and they were kind enough to give you that month in advance.
They didn't need to give you any warning.
Anything, yeah.
I mean, unless they legally had to. Something, maybe they did. But other than that, maybe they didn't have to.
I don't think they would have to.
Because I think sometimes you do have to let your neighbors know that you're planning a renovation.
Maybe.
Or something like that. Like, I think it's in the bylaws sometimes.
Maybe.
I'm not exactly sure.
Could be. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
All right. Well, back over to me. All right. This one's coming from the Am I the Asshole subreddit. It's from 22 days ago. Am I the asshole for breaking up with a girl because she told her friends I have a small penis? Ooh. I have been dating a girl for about 3 months. We finally hooked up and I thought everything was fine. Now, for context, I consider myself to have an average size thing, perhaps on the smaller side of average. Not entirely sure if that's too much information, but I will admit it looks pretty small when soft. Obviously, I'm posting this from a throwaway because it's kind of embarrassing. She's always been super opinionated on penis sizes, uses terms like small dick energy and etc. But I never thought anything about it or let it affect me. As I said, I consider myself average, not small. And if you ever pull anyone up on mocking penis sizes, it's, haha, you must have a small dick. So I just never bothered. So anyway, after the hookup, a few days later, we were hanging out with her friends after work for drinks. I can feel the weird atmosphere, like her and her other girls have been talking about me, like sharing a strange smirk with each other when they first saw me, and her friends are cracking indirect small penis jokes at me, making me super paranoid. I felt embarrassed, but it didn't show. On the way back to my apartment, I asked her if she shared intimate details about me with her friends, and she said no, she would never. I'm not proud, but as I felt she wasn't telling the truth, later that night, I went on her phone while she was in the shower and went straight for her girls' group chat on the WhatsApp. And man, I tell you, it was the most emasculating thing I had ever been through. Like an hour after hooking up, she was roasting me about my size, telling her girls how small I felt in her hand, how her dildo at home was at least 4 times bigger and thicker, that she was disappointed. She even said, quotes, Aaron really ruined things for me, which that's probably the dude she saw in the past who is super hung and makes average looking look small for her. This girl was even saying I had small balls. So now I can't let it go. And it's messed with my self-esteem massively. I asked her to leave when she got out of the shower. And I've been ghosting her for about 4 days now without an explanation because I'm so embarrassed to even talk to her. No doubt I will get some mean comments mocking me by dudes. But please have some sensitivity to this subject. Do I confront her about this? Do I forgive her? Have any of you guys been through this? Have any girls done this? I really feel like she really didn't value my privacy, and I wouldn't dare share intimate details about her. There are things I could say about her body, but I never do that to another person. So am I the asshole for breaking up with her?
So wait, did he break up with her?
Yeah, he broke up with her and, well, he didn't break up with her, he ghosted her. He kicked her out and ghosted her.
Oh, okay. So he just ghosted her.
The title's breaking up.
Okay. But he's asking if he should confront her about it so she doesn't know why he's ghosting her.
So he had 4 questions at the end. Do I confront her about this? Do I forgive her? Have any of you guys been through this? And have any of you girls done this?
Well, are you asking me if I've done it?
Those are the questions. I'm not asking you anything. I'm just reading the Reddit post. This is an interesting one.
That's funny.
It's super hilarious. I feel for the guy.
I mean, I don't think I've talked to my friends about.
I mean, I don't know. Yes, the girl's the asshole here. It's kind of normal nowadays. All girls talk about that stuff. Guys talk about other girls in the group chats and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it's normal. It's normal. All groups of friends talk about their sex lives with their other groups of friends and stuff like that. I'm sorry, man. Like, sorry that happened to you. It's not your fault. She's an asshole. She is the asshole. It's normal, but yeah, she's still the asshole, man.
I don't know if she's the asshole.
No, she's like talking shit on him and stuff like
that. Yeah, but that was after their first hookup.
Yeah, and the problem is,
So that was probably really early on.
Yeah, and the problem is that, like, she's obviously had experiences in the past when he's coming up short of her previous experiences. So, you could go find a girl who has only had smaller than you if you are average and you're not tiny. I mean, every guy watches porn. You have a general idea of where you stack up and stuff like that. Like, you know, so like if he says he's average, he's probably average and stuff like that. She's probably just had some experiences with some really big people in the past. I mean, personally, I don't know why some people need to have it so big. I don't know. I'm not a girl, but like, I feel like that could only hurt. I don't know. I don't want to get too far into sex on this podcast, but I'll just leave it
there. We have family listening.
Exactly. So I'm just gonna leave it there.
Good.
He does have an edit for a little bit more details. Before I get into the edit, top comment is, not the asshole, find someone better. Your girlfriend and her friends are not people you should spend time with, which I would agree with this. Yes, everybody does it, but to go into this detail and all of that stuff, those are some pretty shitty people and stuff. And yeah, it's time to find someone new who doesn't do that to you. The people that do that are usually the young teenagers. Once you grow up and you have mature people, they're not really doing that in group chats anymore.
Yeah. Does it say their age?
No, it doesn't say their age.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just time to move on. Like, definitely don't. You're going to feel embarrassed. She's going to feel bad probably if you confront her, and you're only 3 months in.
No, you did the right thing. Just ghost her.
Yeah,
just ghost her. Yeah. She was an asshole. You are not. Ghost her. Move on. You'll find somebody who doesn't treat you like that, and you will be happy.
I still don't really think she's an asshole, though. I don't know. I just feel like after the first hookup, like, that could have been like a couple weeks in.
Yeah, I don't think she's an asshole for talking about it. I think they're all assholes for the small dick energy and the group chat and the cracking small penis jokes all the time. I just think people who crack small penis jokes all the time are just rude. And like, why is that even a funny thing and stuff like that? Like, do you think guys go around making loose vagina jokes? You know what I mean? And saggy tit jokes or something
I think they do.
Yeah. And those guys are assholes. Yeah. So yeah, people that make those things, those people are assholes.
Yeah.
Like, she's in the group chat and she's saying, what's she saying? They're just roasting. They're roasting him about the size and how small she felt in her hand and how the dildo's bigger and his balls are small. Like, yeah, dude, ghost her and move on. That's it. Ghost her and move on. You'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just leave. 3 months. Not that long.
Yeah. There is an edit for more details here. I was reluctant to share my size, but since so many have asked.
Oh my God, please.
5.5 when erect, which is average. Everybody's aiming for 6, but most people are a little less than that. Just over 2 when soft. Everybody is tiny when soft.
Who cares about when it's soft?
Everybody is a grower. That's just anatomy. I know the average is around 5 to 6 inches, but hey, I've heard girls say average is still small. So I guess it's small. It all depends on their previous relationships.
Yeah.
Most girls do not want larger than that, I would think, but I don't actually know.
I think 5.5 is average.
I feel like that is average.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There is an OP comment.
Oh my God, please.
To the top comment.
Yeah.
Going to see them in the workplace. It will be awful.
What?
Apparently, the top comment says, your girlfriend and friends are not people you want to spend time with. He says, going to see them in the workplace. It will be awful. He works with them.
Oh.
Time to find a new job.
That is brutal.
That's the number one reason why they say don't date people from your work. Because when it goes south, you still have to work for them or work with them. And it sucks.
Quit. Bye-bye.
Move on.
Change. Move states. Move countries.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Damn. Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. Oh, poor fucking guy.
Oh my God. That was good.
Thank you. All right. Now on to your next story.
Yeah. Okay. This one comes from Reddit on Wiki. Am I the asshole for telling my son that if he is uncomfortable about his sister not wearing a bra, then he should cover up too? My 33 male daughter, 16 female, got into an argument with her brother, 15 male, because she sometimes doesn't wear bras around the house. She's still covered up, but she just wears a t-shirt instead. She said that wearing bras are painful and it makes her uncomfortable, so I didn't mind it. However, my son recently started expressing his discomfort and saying that it makes him uncomfortable and she should start wearing bras again. My daughter heard this and got upset and saying that she wasn't bothering anyone. He said that he was bothered by it and that she should cover up. I told her that if he's uncomfortable, then maybe she can put on a bra when she leaves her room. She got upset and told me that it's unfair that she has to wear a bra when her brother doesn't have to cover his man boobs. He got upset at this and accused her of making fun of him. I told him that she wasn't making fun of him and told him that it was a fair statement. I told him that if she's also uncomfortable, then he should start wearing a t-shirt when he leaves his room. He started crying and accused me of calling him fat, which confused me. All those words never came out of my mouth. I felt bad and wanted to let my son know that he misinterpreted what I meant, but when I went to talk to him, he just told me to leave him alone and wouldn't stop crying, so I decided to give him some space. My wife told me that I know how sensitive our son could be about his weight, and I should have been nicer about it. This made me feel extremely bad, and I tried to apologize to him again, but he just ignored me and wouldn't even speak or look at me. I thought I was just being fair, but I don't know. Am I the asshole?
No. Free the nip.
Free the fucking nip. Free the nip.
Preach, I don't know. Preach, like, preach. Okay, this is a little bit difficult because you are dealing with teenage children. That'd be like grade 10, 11. Dealing with teenage kids and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, brothers and sisters, you shouldn't be sexualizing your sister at all anyway. So whether she wants to wear a t-shirt, a hoodie, a bra, or anything like that, that is a no place for you to ask her what she can wear. She's going to be comfortable. And yeah, if you can't handle the fact that you're asking for that and then she tells you, yeah, well, if you're not putting on a t-shirt, it makes me feel uncomfortable, you can't handle it, that's your own freaking problem. If you don't like somebody making fun of your man boobs, like, put a freaking shirt on. You can't get offended when somebody snaps back at you when you are being offensive to them or being rude to them. You have no place to ask her to put a bra on. You have no idea how uncomfortable they are. They're uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I literally never wear bras.
Anymore.
I haven't in years. Her
so many bras. They're all brand new sitting in a drawer. She doesn't even wear them anymore.
I haven't worn them in years. And no one will ever fucking tell me to wear a bra.
Exactly. You don't want to wear a bra, you don't have to.
No.
Dude's just uncomfortable because he's seeing a nipple for the first time.
Exactly.
I think it's also part of North American culture where we over-sexualize the female body. If this was in Europe, they don't wear bras over there. They don't even wear tops over there. Yeah. And it's normal. Like, it's nudist beaches and stuff like that. Like, it's because of how we sexualize the female body in North America. But absolutely, the daughter should not be forced to wear a bra. And if the son has a problem with that, don't look. And nothing wrong with, obviously, the daughter's snapping back. She feels offended. She's going to fucking hit you back in the mental area.
Where it hurts.
Yeah. You try to tell her to wear a bra, she's going to snap back and tell you to cover up your man boobs. You know, you pissed her off, you know?
Yeah.
Good on her for sticking up for herself.
Yeah. And good on the dad for sticking up for her too.
Yeah. He didn't say you're fat. He's standing with his daughter, which he should be.
He said it's fair. If you don't like looking at her boobs, she doesn't like looking at your boobs.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, boobs are just lumps of fat.
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing.
No, they're gorgeous on women. They're not gorgeous on men. So I wouldn't, don't say they're the same thing. They're not the same
but
thing.
But it is.
No, it's not. When men have man boobs, it's because they are overweight in general and it's getting floppy there. Women have beautiful breasts and that you will be skinny and have them, you'll be large and have them. Men will only have man boobs when they are overweight. That is just how it is.
Yes, I know that. Thank you.
They're perfectly round sometimes.
Sometimes.
Pear shaped sometimes. So many different forms and they come in all different ways.
Okay. Top comment. I had this exact situation happen to me, only my brother is 2 years older. I came down to dinner one day when I was 14 or 15, just wearing a tank top. I have A cups, so I didn't think it mattered whether I wore a bra or not. Well, my brother flipped out. He ordered me to go put on a bra, which was incredibly weird of him to say, so I was like, no. He wouldn't let up, got my mom involved, but she tried to have my back and told him to just drop it. At a certain point, I realized he wasn't going to stop, and I was getting very weirded out by having the whole family discussing my tits at the dinner table. So I just went upstairs and changed. I'm still incredibly uncomfortable when I remember this event, and it was over 20 years ago now. My brother and I have never had a close relationship. For a while, when we were kids, the only time he would talk to me was when he had something to criticize about my appearance. In brackets, you need a haircut. Why is your hair so frizzy? You need to shave your legs. You look stupid in that outfit, etc. Guys, just leave your sisters alone and don't talk about their tits. Ugh.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. I'd
kick him in the fucking balls. Yeah. Number one rule, don't talk about your siblings anything. Guy or girl, don't talk about anything. Let them make their own decisions. Don't tell them they need to do anything. Don't tell your brother he needs to wear longer shorts. Don't tell your sister she needs to wear more fabric. Don't fucking look at your sibling, man.
just stay on opposite ends of the house. Yeah. Don't even look at each other.
Don't make any judgments or anything like that. Yeah. Goddamn, let them live. Let them free the nip too. Especially like, bro, I can only imagine how uncomfortable bras can be. Like, I can imagine that they're very uncomfortable and stuff like that. So be comfy. Be comfy and do what you want
to
do.
Yeah, like I dread when I have to go into the office. Can we just like normalize it like in society so I don't have to wear it to work? So annoying.
Go to Europe.
I know I should. We should move to Europe, to the Netherlands,
Spain.
Netherlands.
No, I saw some really good things. People on TikTok promoting Spain recently.
No, let's go to
warm weather houses for 200,000 Canadian or something like that. Hanigan rains all the time. I just remember getting sick when we got rained on.
I love it.
2019, Teresa lived in Hanigan for 5 months.
It gave like cozy vibes.
And
I
you
loved it.
Almost didn't go. Yeah. I had to threaten to break up with you 1 year into a relationship because you didn't want to go on exchange in school. I never had the opportunity. So I was like, if you don't go, if you give up on that opportunity for me, I'm going to break up with you out of spite because you didn't go. I won't break up with you if you go. I'll be there. I'll come visit you. I'll be there when you get back. But you need to go have this life experience. You are a completely different person since you had that life experience. You are 100% a different person since you did that. And if you didn't do that, we probably wouldn't even be living together now. Maybe we would because it's been like 7 years, six years. But like we moved in together.
Right after.
A year after that or something like that. No. Like half a year. At the end of that year, October.
Yeah, it was that year.
Yeah, like we wouldn't have moved in together or anything like that. I doubt.
Yeah, we just would have been at different places, I think, in our relationship. But I'm definitely very glad I did that.
That was huge for you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
So I had an opportunity to do an exchange in university in the Netherlands, and Denver and I had just started dating. I think about a year in, and I didn't want to leave him.
Love me so much.
I didn't want to leave him. So I said I didn't want to go anymore. And Denver kind of was like, if you don't go, I'm breaking up with you.
Yes. That is exactly what it was like.
Forced her. He ended up visiting me for a month.
6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It was 6 weeks. You're right. Yeah. 6 weeks. So it was a long time.
Did a whole Euro trip.
Yeah.
That is on our other YouTube page if you want to check that out.
Yeah. Actually, don't look at those videos. They're very old, and we didn't know what we were doing.
We got like 100 views, 80 views.
Don't go watch those, please.
We got no views. those videos were the start. A start of our career.
Yeah. They were. And that's where that photo was taken.
If you're on YouTube, the photo behind us, that one's Amsterdam.
Yeah. Honestly, best place on earth. Like when we did our Euro trip, I know we're going off topic now, but when we did our Euro trip, went to I think like 9 countries, and the Netherlands was still my number one. It was amazing.
Yeah,
so it was so dreamy.
She started in Hanigan, and then I came and visited. I got sick like the second day because we had a bike back in an ice rainstorm, and then I got sick.
So
I showed up a week early because you still had an exam or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went out a little bit on the town, went out for a couple of drinks that night, waited till Teresa was done her exam. Then the day after her exam, we went, busted into Amsterdam, flew over to London, stayed in London. I love motocross, and there's a MXGP races that were happening. So we kind of planned our trip around three of the motocross races. So we went to London, explored London, went to the dirt bike race, and then we went and bussed it to Belgium. Mm-hmm. We spent like 8 hours waiting to go across the tunnel because our bus got flagged, which is okay because we were actually like, it was okay because we planned to be in Belgium like 8 hours early before we could even check into our Airbnb. So this way now we just went right to our Airbnb, the best Airbnb. Belgium's a little hidden gem.
Yeah.
And then from Belgium, we drove to the next race weekend from Belgium to the Netherlands. It's at the bottom of the Netherlands. And then we went back to the
Groningen.
She had another exam. And then we flew out from Amsterdam to Vienna.
Yeah.
And then from Vienna to Trento, Italy, mm-hmm. another dirt bike race. And then from Trento to Rome. And then we flew from Rome to Barcelona.
Did we?
Yeah. Right? We flew out from Rome. No, we flew from Rome. And then we went to Barcelona. And then we trained it from Barcelona to Paris.
Oh, why did we do that?
That was just the most logistic way.
Huh.
And it was cheap. It was like a $50 flight to go from Rome to Barcelona.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Europe flights are so cheap. And then from Paris to Switzerland, Geneva. And then we cut out the Germany part of the trip and then just Geneva back to Groningen. He had another exam. And then we did Amsterdam for a few days. And then I flew home.
Yeah. It was sad.
Yeah. Teresa was crying.
Yeah. Of course I was. We just spent 6 weeks together nonstop. Like literally not even a 5 minute break.
No, never.
To go to the bathroom.
The bathroom breaks were the only time we were apart.
Not even in Paris.
There was no tour to the bathroom. We're in the smallest little apartment. We had to carry our luggage up six flights for like attic of this apartment. It was a twin bed, a tiny little kitchenette, and a bathroom that didn't have a door on it.
There was no sink
in the bathroom. It was a toilet and a shower, and you had the kitchen sink was the sink.
Yeah.
The only benefit to this, it was the cheapest place we could find.
And had a beautiful view.
You could see the view of the Eiffel Tower from the tiny little window.
Yeah.
Oh. We were broke, though. I want to do a Euro trip part two for half of our honeymoon.
Yeah.
But then Teresa just wants to go to South Italy.
Well, I want to do
Portugal. I want to do Spain again, France again. I want to do Greece.
I just feel like because our wedding is already going to be in Italy, we're going to be there for a week.
Yeah.
Like to do a whole other Euro trip after that is going to be exhausting.
That's true. Wedding update for you guys. We are almost about to put a deposit down for our venue.
Yes.
And then we have to book everything else. I want to go to the Maldives for the second part of our honeymoon.
Yeah. Maldives. I mean, we're already like halfway there. So it would make sense from Italy. But it's still like a really long trip. Like we would have to stop in Dubai.
Yeah, but let's just do it.
We'll see.
I got to price it out. All right. It's my story, right? Let's move along. We got off topic. Did you finish your story? Did you read your story?
I don't remember.
I don't even know where we were. What was your story?
Mine was a bra story.
Yeah, we were talking about Free the Nip.
Yeah.
We got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track here. Am I the asshole for charging my son rent? This one was 28 days ago. I need some advice here. My 17-year-old son has really taken off with his live streaming career in the past 6 months. He's doing so well that he's been able to upgrade his room into a pretty awesome streaming studio. We're talking multiple monitors, TVs, top-of-the-line streaming gear, the works. Turns out he's pulling in around $3,000 per month, which is really impressive for his age. I originally thought he was just blowing his allowance and lying to me, but I have seen his bank account and it checks out. He didn't actually tell me that he was making money until I pressed him, which was weird, but he came clean and showed me his Kick and Twitch profiles. Given his new financial situation, I thought it might be a good idea for him to start paying a small amount of rent, like $600. Something comparable to what a two-bedroom should go for, given he has 500 square feet for his room, an ensuite, and a lounge for his sole use. I see it as a way to teach him about the responsibilities of adulthood and managing his finances. However, my wife is not on board. She thinks we shouldn't ask for rent, period, and that it's our job to give him a roof regardless of external circumstances. Plus, he utilizes her Wi-Fi and electric to stream. I suggested that we put away his rent money for his future, but still, no bueno. Now, he's finished high school early and has been streaming over his gap year before he decides if he wants to go to college. This has led to some pretty heated discussions between us, with my wife accusing me of being too harsh and not appreciating our son's youth. On my end, I feel like I'm being realistic and preparing him for the real world. I had to pay rent as soon as I made an adult wage when I was growing up. I'm conflicted because I want to help him learn real-world responsibilities, but I also get that he's not technically an adult yet. So am I the asshole for wanting my son to contribute a bit to that household now that he's earning his own money?
I don't know. I obviously, like me personally, I would not charge my kid rent.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
But I get it.
I get where he's coming from.
Yeah. But I think, like, I think the intention is what?
Yeah, like, he says that he wants to put it away for his future. He doesn't want to actually take his money. He wants to help him learn responsibilities. So it's not like, I think my son should pay rent because he's making money. No, it's more of like, I want to take his account, make him pay rent, put it into a savings account, and then he'll have that in the future and stuff like that. So his intentions are good.
I guess.
But you have to have, your wife has to be on board with that decision.
Of course. But I don't know, the savings account, like, doesn't seem like, well, actually he did say he's blowing his money. Is that what he said?
No, he thought he was blowing his savings, his allowance.
Okay, so I don't get what this guy wants. Is the real intention for him to like do it as a savings, or is it to teach him?
He says that he wants to put away his rent money for his future to help teach him about managing finances, which I think is fair. Like, your kid's making $3,000 a month. He's 17 years old. He would just blow that money. Now, I think you can make recommendations. I don't think you can enforce anything. I think you just have to make recommendations. Like, you're making all of this money, I recommend you do this. But at the same time, like, he's not an adult yet, so you still do have control over his bank accounts and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm conflicted. I don't know what the right thing to do here.
Like, I just feel like if he wasn't making this money, they wouldn't be charging him rent.
No, he only wants to charge him rent because he's making money to show him, to teach him financial responsibility, which is interesting.
I don't know. I'm going to lean more towards asshole on this.
I don't think he's the asshole because he's not making it. He's not forcing anything. That's an idea that he came up with that he thinks that they should do. But he's not enforcing anything. I don't think he's the asshole for suggesting you should put some money away for your savings.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough because he is a kid. You could say, like, listen, if you live under this household and you make money, here's what we're doing with that money. It is his money, but at the end of the day, you're the parent to help. And you're like, okay, so this is how much you make. You know, we're going to consider this the rent fund, which is actually just going to be going into an account that you, like a house saving account. You can't touch it unless you're buying a house. You could be putting the money into that.
Yeah.
You want to put this into your retirement, and getting him a head start on life could really be beneficial for him in the long run. And it is your job. Your job is to parent your kids. Your job is not to only put a house over their head and give them a free place to live. Your job is to shape them into adults and teach them financials.
How old is he?
17.
17. Okay.
He's almost.
So he's going to be a legal adult.
I would probably set it up like this. Like, you have to be a little bit harsh as parenting. Not harsh, but strict. I would set up like this. Listen, this is what I recommend. You're making this income. Great. That's good job. You still have to go to college. You still have to get a degree and stuff like that. If this is what you're doing in your spare time, fully support you. Now, keep in mind, this whole studio, you're causing our electric bill to go up a little bit. So you're going to be paying $50 per month towards the electric bill. That's going to be a sunk cost that I'm putting in the electric bill.
Yeah.
Here's where you have a choice. Like, if you want to continue having all this stuff in your room using electricity, that's the requirement. You don't want it, I pull all the stuff out of your room, because that is a privilege, not a right. All right. The right is having food and a roof over your head, not all this entertainment. So that's the sunk responsibility, $50 a month. Here's where you have a choice. Option A, you can let me teach you about financing. We can, you know, consider that you're paying rent money, and we'll put that into a locked-in account where you can purchase a house in the future. You'll have a another percentage into your RSP for your retirement, and then you'll have 20% left to spend off and invest into your business and what you want to do with it. You don't have to do that. If you want all the money to yourself, no problem. But when you turn 18, you will then be paying X amount for rent that you will never be getting back. I am going to be keeping that and paying off my mortgage with it. And if you're making all this money, feel free to move out onto your own. Kind of like a harsh one. I can soft teach you now while you're at home in 17, and we can set you up with these accounts to better your future, because he's 17, he's making money, he wants to spend money on whatever he wants to admit. Yeah. It's your job as a parent to coach them and teach them the proper way to spend money with their life, because you have no expenses. You're making $3,000 a month, you're going to be living like a god, you're going to be spending it no remorse or anything that. It's your job to teach kids that you don't just spend all the money that you get.
Yeah.
Versus you don't want to do that. Okay. I only have to support you till you're 18. You're turning 18 within 12 months. I don't know exactly how old you are, but at 18, if you want to go with option B and do it all on your own and don't listen to anything I say, then you get to pay $1,000 a month in rent and it's never coming back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because your job as a parent isn't just to provide a house and heat and food and water, it's to guide them to be adults themselves. And you need to help teach them financial responsibility. Just because he got there a little bit early doesn't mean that you can't help him out. So I think that's my stance on it. I'm open to other suggestions and everything, but I think that's a pretty good stance of like—
No, that was very well said.
You're optional if you want to do it, but if you don't do it, here's what's going to happen when I legally don't have to take care of you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm only doing it to help you. Like, $50 is coming for the electricity because you have all this LED lighting, you have all this extra stuff. That's sunk cost. Rent can go into a house fund for you in the future, buying your own apartment and stuff like that. So I feel like that's a really good balance.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Top comment is, you're the asshole. At 17, he is a dependent, and charging him rent is not okay, especially with the world as it is. He is lucky to have the chance to save and grow, something you need to go look at the real world economics for young people face. Living with your parents until 30 plus is the new norm. It doesn't have to be the new norm for this kid. This kid can support himself. And the dad didn't say, I think you should pay rent because you're making money. He said, I want to put the money away for his future. I want to help teach him future responsibility of finances. So I'm all on board with this dad. And I think that's the approach that he should go with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You're there to help shape and help your kids in the future, not just put a roof over their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think your approach is probably best advice you could give.
Yeah, you can't force the kid to do anything. You got to give him the option.
Yeah.
Be like, listen, I want you to succeed, have a heart-to-heart with him. This is, the best thing for you. I want to help you learn this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's your decision. If you want to pay $600 a month in rent and you'll get it back towards your house, cool. If you don't, when you turn 18, you're moving out or you're paying rent here. And that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Next.
All right. This one comes from Best of Redditor Updates. I am losing my fucking mind. I was never one to believe in paranormal shit or whatever, but I have no idea what the fuck is going on with me right now, and I'm genuinely considering seeking professional help. I live in a really small shared dorm apartment with two roommates. There's this hallway that if you face it, there are two bedrooms to your right, one bedroom to your left, and a closet at the end of the hallway facing you. The bedroom on the left is right next to the closet. When we moved in, my roommate always complained that they got a closet instead of a bathroom like me and my other roommate had in our rooms. This closet had a bunch of our shared stuff, including my clothes, gifts, keepsakes, whatever. Today, I got back from visiting my parents and I came back to put away some clothes from this closet, but I opened it and saw a fucking bathroom. A bathroom with a toilet and a shower and everything. I was only gone for 2 days and we rent this place, so it couldn't have been randomly built or some shit. I told my roommates, but they fucking said it was always a fucking bathroom and they had no idea what the hell I was talking about. I can't find any of our stuff that was in the closet anymore, even though I had shit ton of memorable keepsakes in that fucking closet. What the fuck? I spent all day sulking in my room feeling miserable. I am not crazy, but that bathroom was a fucking closet just 3 days ago. I feel like I'm losing my goddamn mind. I'm genuinely considering seeking a psychologist right now.
Holy fuck. Imagine coming to put something back in the closet, you're like, a fucking toilet. Where the fuck did this toilet come from? Where's my shit? Where's the valuables that you put in the closet? Bro, I know this is a prank. Where are the YouTube cameras? It's been 2 days. You could have renovated this bathroom in 2 days. Where are the cameras? What?
Seeking... So what do you think it is? It's a prank?
I think it's a prank. I think they renovated it without telling her.
In 2 days?
It's doable. Oh, yeah. It's doable.
Yeah.
Or she's actually losing her fucking shit. And, you know, it's a sane asylum stuff going on here.
Yeah, maybe.
Mandela effect.
Okay. Short update here.
All right.
Update. I have a brain tumor.
Oh my God. What? Why are you laughing? Stop laughing. That's messed up. That's messed up.
Okay, yes, but it's just so funny.
Holy fuck, this poor lady. I'm thinking of getting a psychiatrist. No, you need a surgeon. Thank God she thought it was a closet. Thank God they found out she had a brain tumor. How did they go to that conclusion? She go to a therapist first, and they're like, we're going to get an MRI scan on you or whatever it is that scans the brain. Holy fuck.
I'm literally crying. Oh my God. You need a surgeon. It's wild.
I'm shell-shocked.
Oh my God. When I read this one, I was crying laughing. Oh my God. This one was also on the best of Redditor updates. Like the top.
I'm not laughing. This is sad.
Well, okay. Yes, it's sad, but it's just funny because she's going.
Oh, she was going crazy. No, ma'am. You're not going crazy. You have a brain tumor. You're fucking dying.
Top comment. This post just made me feel like I got slapped in the face. Just a sentence, then nothing.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. I wasn't expecting that. No, I was not expecting that.
I was expecting a prank.
Yeah. Another comment. I like reading Glitch in the Matrix because I find it kind of morbidly fascinating and eerie, but like everyone in the comments insisting it's a glitch before the girl ends up having a brain tumor is so absurd. There needs to be a healthy dose of skepticism in subs like that. Like maybe let's suggest some medical testing before immediately assuming someone is in the Matrix, LMFAO.
You know, next time somebody talks to me about this, the first thing I'm going to do is, you might have a brain tumor. Go get an MRI scan or something. That's not instantly what I'm going to go to. When somebody tells me Mandela effect is happening or something is happening like that, I need a psychiatrist. No, you need a surgeon. Go check to see if you have a brain tumor.
That's wild.
Oh my God, that is wild.
I hope this girl is okay.
All right, moving along. This one is a recent one from 4 days ago. It already has 12,000 upvotes.
All right.
Am I the asshole for going to my birthday dinner without my husband because he wasn't ready on time?
Hmm.
It was my 40 female 40th birthday a few days ago, and we had a reservation at a nice restaurant for 7 p.m. It takes about 20 minutes to drive to the restaurant, so I plan to leave the house at 6:30 to build in some time in case traffic was bad. I also had to pick up my father. My husband, 43 male, had decided to do a bit of work on his car about a half an hour before we needed to leave. At 6:30, when the kids and I were waiting by the door, he was still working on the car. He hadn't changed and hadn't showered. I told him to quickly get ready, but it got to be 6:50 and he still wasn't ready yet, so I decided to just leave without him. He has a habit of always running late when we go out, and he is always the last one to be ready. Normally, I can tolerate it since it only sets us back by about 10 minutes at the most, but my birthday dinner was important to me and I had been looking forward to it for weeks. Making us wait 20 minutes was taking the mick, so I yelled that we were leaving and left because I didn't want to lose the table since we would arrive at 7:20. Mm-hmm. I called the restaurant and I let them know we would be late, and luckily they still had our table. But my husband never even showed up to the restaurant, and when we got home, he was mad at me. I told him that I was tired of him not respecting my time and always making people wait on him, and that he could make his own way to the restaurant. My father agreed with me and my decision to leave without him, but my kids were a little upset that he wasn't there to have dinner with us. So, am I the asshole?
No. Easiest no ever. I hate people who do not respect other people's time. Because it's like, it's my fucking birthday.
Exactly.
And you had to do this last minute to work on the car.
You knew we were going to the birthday dinner. Why would you even start working on the car?
People like that make me think like they have brains of like 10-year-olds.
It just shows how little you care.
Yeah. That's all it shows. You're not respective of anyone's time. You don't care. You literally don't care. It pisses me off because like stuff like this like really bothers me. When people are late or if they don't communicate shit like when they're late, like that makes me so upset. And then like getting ready last minute like that,
exactly,
makes my blood boil.
Makes my blood boil too.
Yeah.
Like no. I wouldn't have even waited till 6:50. I would have been like, it's 6:30. I told you this is the time to leave. You're wrenching on your car. Yeah. You need to shower and all of that stuff. We'll meet you at the restaurant. Hurry up.
Yeah, no.
I will see you there.
No, yeah.
You're capable of getting there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would have been livid.
Yeah.
If this was me.
I would have been so pissed.
Yeah.
Top comment, not the asshole. You were already late when you left. If you waited any longer, you wouldn't have had a table and thus no birthday party. When you got home, you should have torn him a new one for deliberately trying to sabotage your birthday party. Yep. Put him on the defense where he should be for his behavior. Really, though, when your husband decided to do some work on his car, you should have said, no, you're not doing that. You're going upstairs to get ready to leave with us. This was a totally predictable problem. Mm-hmm. In general, you should stop tolerating his lateness. When you do that, it gets worse, not better. There's a comment that says, husband used to be on time. OP was a stay-at-home mom, and this started when she went back to work. Husband is still never late to work or any of his own events. My conclusion, this behavior is not related to ADHD or anything similar. His lateness is deliberate enemy action. Sounds like I got some issues going on there, but fuck this guy, man. What a dickhead.
No, I wouldn't be able to live with a person like this, because I would be angry all the time.
Yeah, I would be pissed if you're making me late all the time with everything. Like, come on.
Yeah, and like the fact that she has to like tell him to get up and get ready, that's beyond infuriating. Why do you have to baby him? He's a grown-ass man. Why do you have to tell him it's time to get ready when you know?
Exactly. Like, why would you even start? You going to start to work on your car just shows how little you're thinking about your wife on her birthday. There was one interesting OP comment to a comment or interesting OP reply. The comment was, as a man and an introvert, this might actually be quite a weight off his shoulders. OP says, we go out as a family maybe every other week, and he doesn't get dragged anywhere. He agrees to everything I suggest, and I have made it very clear in the past that he's not up for something, then there is no pressure for him to come join us. We don't do everything together, and couple time, as you put it, happens even less. My husband has no problem facing social situation. His job has a big social factor, and he loves it. He also goes to a very busy pub with his friends every week and looks forward to it. Problem is not needing time to himself. He has plenty of time to himself. The problem is the lack of respect and disappointing his children. Even if he is an introvert, being late for his mother-in-law's funeral and not showing up to his wife's birthday celebration after she has said how important it is to her is inexcusable.
Wow. Late to his mom's funeral?
It sounds like a divorce is coming.
No. Yeah. 100%. 100%. I would leave him.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert. I'm literally never late to things. Being an introvert usually means that you have anxiety, and anxiety means that you are early to things.
At the end of the day, it's just disrespectful that you know you're supposed to leave at 6:30 and you're going and you're still working on your car. Like,
yeah,
I would throw a wrench at him. I would. I'd see him working on his car. He's underneath the car. His legs are out. Wrench. 21-millimeter wrench right to the nuts. Right to the nuts.
Damn.
Yeah. No, that's physical inexcusable. Violence. Yeah, I would. It's inexcusable. He's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he sucks.
All right.
Okay. This one comes from Best of Redditor Updates again. Me, 26 female, with my boyfriend, 27 males, sister, 28 female, filled my yard with gnomes. I got rid of them after 2 months. Boyfriend is furious. I am not sure what to do. My boyfriend's sister, Chrissy, pulled a prank on me 2 months ago. She left about 50 gnomes in my front yard. No warning, they were just there. I called people up and asked them, but no one would tell me. I guess this is part of the prank. I fucking had no clue what was going on. Eventually, the kids in the neighborhood started picking them off, so I brought them inside my garage. Two of them were pretty cute, so I cleaned them up and put them in the house. I waited for someone to come clean, but no one did. After 3 weeks, I decided I was just going to donate them. A few friends asked if they could have some, and I let them. I started giving them to people who commented on one being interesting or cute. I told my boyfriend about my army, and he laughed. I thought he might have done it, but he said he honestly didn't, so I believed him. Well, he went on a 4-week trip with his family to Europe. I got a few emails from him, but we were both busy. I went on a trip myself for work and for pleasure. So when he got back, he asked how the gnomes were treating me, and I let him know most of them had found new homes. He got really silent and asked how many I had left. I told him 10. He asked who took them and said we needed to get them back. I was confused. It had been 2 months, and the gnomes were kind of a funny story, but I don't remember everyone who took one, let alone the kids who picked 10 off the lawn. He then told me that they belonged to Chrissy, who thought I had just stored them in my garage, which is why she didn't pick them up before the trip. Chrissy is his sister. Apparently Chrissy has been pulling the gnome army prank for years, and I am the bitch who gave away her army. My boyfriend is furious with me and asked why I would do that. I told him he should have come clean and I would have just kept them in my garage for her to pick up later. He said it wasn't how the prank worked. He said he needs to rethink the relationship. He wants me to get them back as they are dear to Chrissy. Chrissy doesn't know yet. I am not sure what to do about this. I had a few people offer to return their gnomes, but the rest of the people said they gave them away to so-and-so and didn't know where they were now. This is such a surreal situation, and I have no fucking clue what to do about it. I don't see how I was wrong, but I feel bad. So what can I do?
Break up with him. Like, okay, it's a funny prank. It's absolutely hilarious.
It is.
Sounds like she had it in good humor. It was so funny. The only part that's going wrong here is that the boyfriend knew, didn't come clean about it. 2 months go by. The gnomes, the prank, it's over.
It's old now.
It's old. What's happening with the gnomes and everything like that? It is your fault that the gnomes got picked off. What do you think was going to happen?
She was just going to keep 50 gnomes in her fucking garage forever?
Exactly. You're delusional. You're out to lunch and he needs to rethink his relationship. I would be like, I'm rethinking it at this very moment.
Me too, yeah.
You rethinking it is a red flag to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're done. And here, take your fucking gnomes. Like, bro, you don't go around giving your gnomes away that you have 100% intention. What if someone took it badly and they just decided to smash all of them?
Yeah.
Like, you are understanding that these gnomes may never come back. That's what happens when you pull pranks. And pranks are short term. It's been 2 months.
2 months is so ridiculous. 2 months, bro.
She asked you. It's been 2 months.
Yeah. There's an update.
Oh, thank God.
I haven't read.
I hope it's a breaking up.
I decided to bite the bullet and talk to Chrissy. I brought the gnomes I had to her house and knocked on the door. Chrissy's mom answered and asked me in. I was tired of the immaturity in mind games. My boyfriend has been sending me threatening, get me more gnome bitch type texts.
I would fuck him up.
I could see a lot of red flags or red hats if you are so inclined. I wanted Chrissy to have her gnomes back, so I just got it over with. When I handed Mrs. Mom the open box, she asked where I got these. She seemed really upset I even had them. I told her the story, pretty much what I said in the last post, but with some more detail. Her reply was, Joe had been telling a totally different story.
It's all the boyfriend.
She seemed really hurt about the whole thing, and while I wanted to make a quick getaway, I was fucking curious. Blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. Mrs. Mom told me a little bit of background. I'm not going to repeat everything she said because some of it is sad and pathetic and a little too dark for my post about a gnome invasion.
The fuck?
A gnome army belonged to Chrissy's late boyfriend, Steve. Steve and Chrissy used to put them in people's yards and then demand another member for their army. So the gnomes came from people Steve and Chrissy knew over a period of 5 years. Steve passed away, Chrissy stopped the gnome pranks and put them into storage. She has not pulled the prank in almost 2 years now, but freaks out if someone mentions getting rid of the gnomes or even moving the boxes. I felt like an asshole, but Mrs. Mom thanked me for bringing some of them back. She did say the annoying line, "You should have kept them even if you didn't know where who they belonged to." She did say she was going to replace the gnomes in the boxes with the other ones and hope Chrissy didn't notice. Not sure this is a smart idea. She said she wanted to believe me, but that it's likely the last time she would want me in her house. Gee, thanks. I said that was fine. I had no intention of staying in a family who pulled weird pranks, then blamed the victims. One bridge burned. I mean, I understand she is likely upset because Chrissy apparently doesn't handle any mention of Steve well. She is likely going to be upset and never speak to the person at fault again, which is likely me. How I got them out of storage unit 3 hours away, the mystery will likely haunt their family for years. I don't understand. I'm trying to understand the last part.
Of the storage unit?
Yeah.
Well, the boyfriend didn't. So from what I understand, the boyfriend took his sister's gnome prank, I would imagine with good intentions of trying to get her out of her depression, and prank a new person with it. Didn't tell her about it. Denied that he did it to his girlfriend, and then the girlfriend started giving him away, but he told his family that the girlfriend went and took him out of storage without him.
Okay, I see.
Why would anybody even believe him? Yeah. Why would your girlfriend randomly go to the storage locker to pull up the gnomes that she didn't never knew existed?
Yeah, literally. Okay, got it. There's a bit more. As for my now ex-boyfriend, I went to his house and asked him why he pulled the prank. His answer was stupid and telling, "I don't know." He wouldn't answer me and he wouldn't tell me what was going on. He just said he wanted to do something cute, then it got out of hand, and he thought I would keep them. Something about having his own little secret made him happy. I got my things from his room and left. I told him about our mutual friend Jake, who would bring his stuff by at a later time. Jake agreed to this and said Joe's story was bullshit. I guess Joe told me I got the gnomes out of storage unit and put them in the yards to get attention. That totally makes sense. I guess it was spiteful to do, but I did send Chrissy a message on Facebook. "Chrissy, I don't think we will be friends after this. I know you want to believe your brother, but I did not take your gnomes. I did not know why they were in my yard or even that you had them. Please understand I would never aim to hurt, steal, or take from you. Your brother admitted to putting them in my yard, though I had no idea why he did it." I got an okay back, then she blocked me. I blocked Joe and his family. I am not sure what to do now, but it has been a really interesting few weeks for sure.
What a roller coaster. Yeah, block them all. Block them.
They're sick.
That's fucked up. I was honestly, like, going back, like, that's so cute that Chrissy and her boyfriend did that. It's a funny prank.
Yeah,
and then cute. After the person's like, "What the fuck?" They're like, "We'll take him off for yard, but you need to add a little soldier to our family." And then their soldier is built from people that they know. Like, that's a heartwarming, funny, harmless prank. It's harmless. It's funny.
It's a prank I could stand behind.
It's a prank I can stand behind as long as they took responsibility for it, like, after like a day or two.
Yeah.
That is funny. It sounds like her boyfriend passed away. She's been depressed. They've been in storage. I would imagine the brother had good intentions for his sister. Didn't know what exactly he was doing with it, or he's just a piece of shit. But, like, had good intentions, I think, maybe to help her with the prank and stuff. Or, but flip side, he is just a piece of shit, because why would you take the gnomes out of your sister's stores? They weren't yours.
Yeah.
You put them on your girlfriend's. You don't tell her anything about it
for
2 months. And then when she's like, "Yeah, okay, it's finally time to clear out and get rid of them."
It kind of sounds like sabotage. Like, I don't know. Like, he wanted to blame the girlfriend.
And then just blames her to his family and stuff. It's like, you're delusional.
Yeah.
I want no part of it. And then going to drop him off to his mom, like, returning them, and his mom being like, "I don't think I want you in the house anymore." I'm like, "Bitch, I didn't fucking do this.
I don't even want to come here.
I don't want to be here, and I didn't do this. You think I went to a storage locker and pulled the gnomes out? You don't think this was all your son's fault? Like, how am I having anything to do? I didn't know he's even existed.
I'm the victim.
I am the victim," and stuff like that. So it's like, good. Block them. Block them all.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a wild story. That's hilarious. Wild.
Wow.
Yeah, block him. 2 months. 2 months. You think I'm just going to put him in the garage? Like, bro, I would have smashed him.
Yeah. Top comment. This prank works if it lasts about one day at most, and if the people who did come to clean and get rid of them, of the gnomes right after. This is so odd.
You know what would be really funny?
What?
Is if, like, they put them there at midnight, in the middle of the night, and then the next day, they're like, where the fuck are these gnomes? They're asking everybody, who the fucking gnomes are? And then midnight or 2 a.m. the next day,
they're
you take them back. And then the gnomes are gone. You're like, hey, was there fucking gnomes there? Or did I have a brain tumor? That would be the best thing. Or like, yeah, or like put one gnome there and then like change it out every night with a different gnome. Like, wait, that's a different guy. That's a different gnome.
Oh my God.
Or like add one gnome a day, like put a gnome in there and then like add another
and then
gnome.
It just becomes an army.
But like if you're pulling a prank with gnomes, like you have to be okay with it. They go in the garbage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the prank. He was pranking with things that weren't his.
Yeah, that's the issue.
He was messing with some shit that he shouldn't have been messing with. And that's a red flag in itself. I wouldn't want a partner who's doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm. I'm glad she blocked all of that. They're a weird family.
Yeah.
Get out.
That is weird. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. So I've saved my best story for last.
Ooh, okay. Let's hear it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Trigger warning for domestic violence on this one. This one is a recent one. It was from 12 days ago, 13 days ago. Am I the asshole for kicking my wife out of the house after she punched my mom in the face?
What? Oh my God. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Strap in because we're going for a ride.
Damn. Okay.
All right. My situation went from bad to worse in a matter of weeks, and I don't know where else to turn. I need to know if I was wrong. Possibly a validation thing, because my life is so fucking dumb right now. My wife and I have been together for 8 years, and she just gave birth to our first and last baby 2 months ago. Up until my wife got pregnant, my mom loved her. I'm not sure what the fuck is wrong with my mom or why the switch happened, but after my wife first got pregnant, my mom started being very clingy to me and started avoiding my wife at all costs. She told everyone she wasn't excited for the pregnancy, etc. I threatened to go no contact with her when my wife was about 7 months pregnant and after she snapped out of it for the most part and stopped being so ignorant. The comments 100% stopped, though she was still clinging to me. Now, a week ago, my mom, my sister, and my sister's husband, and my sister's daughter, who is 12, came over for dinner. I prepared the meal. Before my wife could eat anything, our daughter got fussy, so my wife excused herself to go feed the baby and to get her down to sleep. I thought I prepared enough, but apparently not, because my niece was still starving. She's 5'5 and 190 pounds. I haven't seen her in a year, and she was not that size then, so I didn't exactly portion in an extra 3 helpings for a child. So it's on me. I apologized and I told her that I hadn't made any more and I offered her crackers. As I was putting my wife's portion in the fridge, after that, I just went outside with my sister's husband to smoke a cigarette and shoot the breeze. Didn't think anything of it, but then I hear yelling from inside. When I walked in, my wife and my mom were screaming at each other. Apparently, my mom, who saw me put my wife's food away, gave my niece my wife's portion of the food.
Oh.
As I was walking inside, I heard my mom say, "Looks like you can afford to skip a meal," and slap my wife's stomach.
Right? Oh my God. Sorry. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked. I'm shook. I'm mad.
Right as soon as I get ready to step in, literally fast walking towards them, yelling, "Enough!" My wife winds back and punches my mother square in the face and drops her.
Oh, good.
The whole house went silent. Outside of my mom crying and holding her face, I tell everyone to get the fuck out. Immediately, everyone leaves and my wife just turns towards the counter and leans with her hands on the counter and face down, eyes closed. I look at my wife and say, "You two, leave now." She says, really? She's crying at this point. I say, yep. She packs up her and the baby and leaves.
Wow.
I text her that night and say, I just need space. I need to decompress and come to terms with what just happened. She doesn't respond to me. The next 5 days, I'm texting and calling and I get nothing. Left on red. She shows up here today, 8 days later, and hands me divorce paperwork and my baby and says, here, you have a bit to hang out while I pack. Where I'm breastfeeding, we can work out a visitation schedule that is either at your place or my mother's until she will take a bottle. I told her that's not what I want. I don't want to separate. I just needed time to process her punching my mother in the face. She said, you needing time to process gave me time to process the fact that I refused to be in this situation any longer. I defended myself. I initially felt bad and remorseful, but you making me leave when I needed you made me see more clear. I'm done. I'm sorry for what I did, but there's no fixing this. She refused to speak to me at the rest of the time that she was there. My house feels so empty now, and I don't know what to do. Am I the asshole for making her leave after she punched my mom in the face?
That was fucking wild. I wasn't expecting that.
Save the best for last year.
I will redact my initial conclusion and say, yeah, you are the fucking asshole.
Oh, huge. Huge.
Yeah.
I was like, good on her for sticking up for herself, for standing up for herself to that mother-in-law.
Exactly. Yeah.
Terrible.
It was probably like months of comments like that.
Oh, huge buildup.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's and been then years she just snapped. Of buildup. I never condone violence.
Oh, I do.
But we know you do.
I condone defending yourself. If someone lays their hand on you, give them hell. And she, mother-in-law did.
Yeah.
She slapped her.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, mother-in-law did start it first. She slapped her stomach. That would be enough to set me off. Like,
right hook.
Yeah.
Left hook, combo, uppercut. No, but she just won and dropped her. Good.
Yeah, that's so wild. And good for her. Yeah.
That's self-defense.
Honestly, I don't know if it was self-defense.
No, it is. But someone puts their hands on you. You hit them back to stop them from being able to do it again. Who's to say that mother-in-law wasn't doing a combo with a left hook in there next? You don't know. Defend yourself.
I don't know about that, but I think she was justified in her reaction. And I also kind of understand the husband. I don't know if I'm going to get hate for this. Probably a lot of emotions in the moment, like not knowing what just happened, like your wife just punched your mom in the face.
Yep.
So the initial reaction is probably like, what the fuck just happened? I just need time to think.
But here's the thing. If you need time, you leave. You go check in with your mom.
Yeah.
You make sure she's okay. You have no right to kick your wife out of the house,
okay, fine.
Which is also kicking your baby out of the house. You need space. You leave.
That's, yeah. Okay. You're right. I take that back. Yeah. He's the asshole.
Yeah. Fuck him. I'm glad she ghosted him, then fucking divorced him. Because you know what? Not only are you dealing with a fucking pussy who can't stand up for you, but then you also have to deal with his crazy mother-in-law, the fucking crazy sister-in-law and brother-in-law and whatever, because those are shit parents who are also letting the mother-in-law take food for their fucking child and stuff like that, who seems to be massively overweight. You're 12 years old and you weigh 190 pounds?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
And then you're stealing food from the person who just had a baby, who's stressed.
Yeah.
Postpartum depression probably, or who knows, like stressed out, needs her food, needs her rest and all of this stuff. Just so many things on a level. And then you have the audacity to kick her out.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? There is a little bit of an edit here.
Okay, let's hear it.
A pretty big edit.
Oh.
Edit. For the record, I am team wife. My mom deserved it wholeheartedly, and I blocked her completely from my life. I literally just needed time to process what happened. My wife is a lot of things, but violent is not one of them. This came completely out of left field and would not have happened without her being provoked. After it all happened, my mom sent me a text saying, "See, I told you, that bitch is crazy. That fat bitch doesn't belong in our life."
Oh.
I'm willing to bet she purposely tried setting my wife off. So no, I am on my wife's side 100%. I truly just needed to process what happened, and my wife took it as me giving up on her, not defending her, and throwing her and our baby out, which I did essentially because I knew she had to take the baby with her when I kicked her out. Yeah, that's exactly why the wife should be mad at you.
Yep. Yeah, that's fucked up from the mother-in-law. Yep. Wow. And she's probably going to be like that with any of your future relationships.
Oh, for sure.
Honestly, you need to cut that relationship.
Yeah, it sounds like you did, but too little too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too little too late. Should have stood up for your wife. Never in a million years would I ever kick you out. If I need space, I leave. Mm-hmm. You don't kick your wife and baby out of the house. What the fuck is wrong with you? You need space, you leave. There's another edit. The reason why my dad was stupid abusive. I was beat. My sisters and brother were beat. My mom was put in the hospital multiple times. It took years for police to enforce restraining orders, and he finally died in 2013. Violence scares the fuck out of me. I clam up and get anxious around violence of any kind now. My wife knows this, and she too grew up with a violent dad and stepdad, and she gets just as anxious and panicky about violence. Her punching my mom in the face triggered an anxious response, and I needed her gone in that moment. I needed it far away from me. I don't know why I didn't just leave. I could have, but in the moment, I just let my emotions and fear run the whole fucking surface and told everyone to get out, including her. My mom did slap her first. I guess for some reason, I was just seeing my wife's punch. Okay. Well, that's all I have to read off of my nice, shiny, black, new MacBook Pro. I like to announce when I get new things. I got a new MacBook for the podcast, for the editing. I've been editing for you guys in 4K, so I upgraded some hardware for the podcast there. Thank you guys so much for all the support. You don't have another story, right, Teresa?
No, I'm done.
We are done with no theme or theme.
To theme or not to theme?
To theme or not to theme. It will be in the title. Teresa came up with this, so that's why I'm a little harder on it. We've made huge progress with our following, so thank you guys so much. Our podcast downloads on Spotify and Apple Podcasts have been out of control. YouTube has been out of control. We're almost at 30,000 followers on Instagram. We might even be past this by the time this episode goes live. TikTok's a little bit slow, so if you guys are listening on here, go help us out on TikTok. But thank you guys so much for the support. We've had some awesome user write-ins that we're going to be putting into a future episode. So if you guys have a story that you want us to read, throw it on the Thread Talk podcast subreddit, send us an email, send us a DM on something, get in contact with us, and we'll make sure to put your story on a future episode.
Yes.
Teresa also has been working on a little something exciting for the podcast. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, you may see a change coming in the future of our background. Maybe on the next episode, we'll have an update for you guys on what's happening. So that's all we have on this Thread Talk Tuesday, unless Teresa has anything else for you guys.
I wanted to say, please give us a like or a 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcast. That will really help out our analytics.
Yes, help us out, because some people have given us a 1-star for some reason, and I don't know why. I think 2 people gave us a 1-star, and we're like, what have we done wrong? I thought everybody loves us.
We also take criticism.
We do. We get a lot of criticism, actually. You go read our comments on Instagram.
Personally, but
Teresa reads every comment on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok, and she takes the criticism personally.
But
we know anybody who's listening to this part of our podcast, you guys are the true loyal supporters. So we thank you guys. If you're listening to this, you made it all the way to the end, and we thank you very much for coming along for the ride.
Yes, we're so appreciative for all of you. Thank you so much. Until next time.
This has been Thread Talk Tuesday.
Bye. Bye.